Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View and thank you so much for being with us. My name is Pimelo Modine. We're going to be doing this until 10. And as you know, it's a Wednesday, so Ntabiseng Dubazana is going to be here. This is a good time for you to start sending in your questions, all your legal questions. You can do that quite early, actually, so that she can go through them and try and get you as much information as possible. And you can do that on our WhatsApp note, on a WhatsApp voice note. On that line is 063-688-0959. You can call in, though, just after 9 o'clock. But I want to start here with a story that is quite worrying. 40%, we believe, of Eskom's meters, prepaid meters, are non-vending. On the line with us is Eskom spokesperson, Daphne Mokoena. Thank you so much, Ms. Mokoena, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Kimela, and good evening to your listeners.
Let's start with the terminology. What does non-vending mean?
So non-vending would mean that one wouldn't be buying electricity or prepaid electricity, because remember, with your prepaid electricity, like your pay-as-you-go, you know, where when your credits and your meter get exhausted, one has to replenish them by going and buying to a particular authorized vendor.
Yes.
To put credit on your meter so that you can have your electricity on.
So if I have to then be simplistic, it means that while you keep using electricity from your prepaid meter, you're not buying any electricity.
Yeah. So basically it would mean if you are non-buying, so you'd be non-buying, so we have probably, let me say, different types of non-buying, so or reasons for non-buying. So you may be non-buying because you have bypassed our meter.
Mm-hmm.
You could be non-buying because you are buying from an illegal vendor.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be non-buying because we have disconnected you.
Okay, but you know, if we then are specific to the prepaid meters,
yeah,
how then does it work?
In terms of?
So, I mean, if you are buying as a prepaid meter customer, and I may be buying from a vendor that is not authorized, in the system, how does it then work?
Yeah, so in our system, so we will see this customer, because remember, these were credit dispensing units that, you know, I think we were on media a lot,
mm-hmm,
to say that there were credit dispensing units that basically disappeared from Eskom,
mm-hmm,
and they were cloned. And mm-hmm, I think currently there are a few, about four. We had discovered others, but obviously the Hawks and other law enforcement agencies are helping us to trace these. But these are, so what they do is these people, syndicates, which we believe they are, they then create sort of fake tokens that those take tokens or clone the tokens so that they can be, the meter, our meter basically, can then credit those meters with those fake, I would call it fake for now, because obviously they are not illegal. So then the meter will run, and those people obviously will be the one collecting the money instead of Eskom. So buying from illegal or what we call the ghost vendors, because up until we, you know, arrest those people, then I guess they will remain ghost for now. But that's how, you know, the illegal vendors or illegal vending happens. And then you've got those that just simply bypass their meters. And bypassing their meters, it means that you are not buying at all. So we call those zero buyers, because then we've got reports basically that we then run every day and monthly that shows us that, you know, there are so many people that, or meters, that are not vending or buying.
Okay. You gave us a third, mm-hmm, category. What was the third category?
So I said the third category would be those that we have disconnected. So we would have gone to your, or we would have seen that this these parties through these reports would have then identified that these meters are not buying. So we then go and audit all others. It's not just the non-buyers or the non-vending. There will be those that, you know, for a month, somebody would have bought for 10 rands or 20 rands, and that's it. So we do understand that there are people that are having alternative, you know, sources of energy like gases and other alternative heating methods at their or appliances at their home. But obviously, you know, somebody who buys a 20 rand worth of electricity is obviously suspicious. Then we will send our technicians to go and audit to those meters. And when we find that the meters, what we find is that most of these meters are either bypassed or they are buying from illegal vendors. So just for the 10 rand from Eskom, but the rest of the money is buying from the gold vendor. So it's just making Eskom, or whether I mean to just call a spade, just fooling Eskom to not to be recognized or be picked up by the system that you are a zero buyer. So those ones, then when our technician goes to those meters and audit those meters, and if they find that the person has bypassed that meter or obviously it goes vending, how would they find that it goes vending? You have bought 10 rands, I mean, for the month, but what is showing on your meter, it's a whole lot of credit that we cannot explain, or you as a customer cannot explain. And those are the ones that we would then disconnect, and we then fine that particular customer the fine depending on the type of consumption you have applied for. If you are a 20 amp like a normal household, 20 or 60 amp will then fine you 6,052 rand, which we'd expect that the customer would have to pay before we can come and reconnect that customer. So that customer will stay off, and obviously that meter would not be vending because Eskom has switched it off or has disconnected and taken everything from that customer. In certain instances with repeat offenders especially, we then take everything from the customer, and then we expect that customer to actually go and apply from scratch. And obviously applying from scratch, it means that you have to pay for everything that we install in your house.
Okay. And I do remember the issue of those ghost vendors. And I know that the Hawks were onto it. Do we know now? Because at the time when this was all over the media, there wasn't a clear sense of how many of these machines are out there.
Yeah. Look, I think we suspect that they are, and I stand to be corrected, about 4 or 7, because hopefully that they are not cloned again. But, Pamela, obviously, as you know, that it's a security matter. I think I cannot say much, but all I can say to you is that we are working with law enforcement. They know what they are looking for, and they are actually apprehending some of what we call the runners. But up until we get to, you know, the kingpins, we would not have said that, or we would not rest up until we get to those. But, yeah. Our law enforcement agencies are really on this, because definitely this is costing Eskom a lot of money. And one of the things that we are also banking on, Pamela, is that remember we are the program that we of the replace or reconfiguring or upgrading the software of the prepaid meters. We know for a fact that by the 24th of November, these meters, those CDUs or credit dispensing units, they are on the previous or STS or specification, or that the old specification. So once the 24th of November comes, so by the 25th, if you've, somebody has bought those illegal tokens, they won't be able to get what they have been, you know, getting from these illegal tokens, because that meter won't recognize that particular token, since that particular token identification would have expired.
Mm. As you said, I mean, essentially, these combinations will expire by the 24th of November, as you're saying. Yes. But are you finding, initially when you started the program, you were giving very nice updates. Are you finding that people are now willing? Because if people are aware, and I also believe that some of the problem stems from, as you said, it's an internal ESCOM issue. If people are aware that they have units that are non-vending, are they willing to get the city or yourselves directly as ESCOM to replace them?
I don't understand the question. So as a customer, I know that I'm buying from an illegal vendor.
So my understanding is that you've got two problems, unless if I'm misunderstanding this.
Okay.
The one problem is that the units themselves have been programmed in such a way that they can bypass the system. Then the second one is that you have vendors that are selling tokens that are illegal, essentially. So what I'm saying is that, are you finding that as you roll out this program, people are willing for you to come and reprogram the meters themselves?
Look, I think at this stage, since we've got about 4 million, and I think the 4 million, I can talk about the 4 million people out of the 6.9, which is about 60%, that are willing. So we do have, you know, most of our customers willing to do the right thing. But I think we still need more education. And others, remember, it's just criminality. And obviously, if that crime works for me I can get free electricity and they continue with their criminality. But I guess we've got those then that are aware with our education that, you know, if I am, you know, continuing with this, because remember, this is also tampering with your essential infrastructure. And with the recent, you know, Energy Regulation Amendment Act, which actually have more stringent penalties in terms of people that are basically tampering with the essential infrastructure. So they could be facing, because obviously through law enforcement, we could actually, those people be facing imprisonment or even, you know, not just the 6,000, because in the ERA it says that then those people can be charged about 1 million rent, or both. You know, you go to jail for 5 years and you're expected to pay the 1 million. And I think if we can educate more, because this is not just a scare, but it is how now the law is, and we can actually implement this and get people to be in prison because of these illegal activities that they are doing. So I think the more education that we do, I believe that people can will be able to change. But as I said, that the 60% of the prepaid customers that we have are actually, they have shown that they are willing to pay and are paying and have, you know, their meters even configured into the new software.
All right, Tiffany Mugwena, thank you so much. She's an ESCOM spokesperson. I want to see what the picture looks like in the city of Johannesburg. City Power Senior Manager in Revenue Enhancement, Mbani Mzizi, is on the line. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Mzizi. Good evening and welcome, and thanks again for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pimelo, for having us again.
So just give us a sense of what the problem looks like in Johannesburg specifically.
So in Johannesburg, having listened to the ESCOM spokesperson, we are experiencing something similar. Although, I mean, theirs is a national footprint. Mm. Ours is within the perimeters of Johannesburg. Mm. So the picture looks like this. With 286,000 customers, give or take, we've got around, at this point, I mean, at the point of the reporting, it was around 150,000, 155,000 customers that were vending from a vending perspective, before we even speak about those who have converted to the new STS or KRN2, as she was explaining.
Yes.
So that 155 denoted, at least at that time, around 55% of our total prepaid customer base. However, we are now seeing even more people now. The number is decreasing for some reason. I can't say it's unbeknown, because in my first conversation with you, it was at the rollout of the 200 rand. So we are assuming that that has played a small part, or a big part in that, of course, in the reduction of customers who are purchasing. Therefore, means our losses are increasing now.
Okay. And your sense of how you're going to get to the bottom of this, because clearly, as she said earlier, you know, there are criminal elements where people are very aware of the fact that what they're doing is criminal. How do you think as a city you're going to bypass that?
So the first thing that we did, of course, is because we are on the international, using the international standards for prepaid, we are all relying on the conversion to this new KRN or STS, you know, which where now they will not, where customers will firstly not be able to utilize those fraudulent tokens, as it was explained by the first speaker. Then the second one has got to do with the TID project that we were doing. In that TID project, what we try to do is we try to combine two things. Instead of dispatching the tokens when a person purchases, we thought, let's kill two birds with one stone. We go to visit a house, we do an audit, and we also give you that token so that we can you can move over to the new code or the new standard, as it were. So we then take that information from the stand-by-stand audit, as we call it, or visitations, and then from there we then see who is not buying or who is not buying or who has bypassed, and we go and normalize. So that was the second intervention. Then the third intervention now that is coming up as a result of this decline that we are now experiencing. We have the benefits of the data now, seeing that we have been able to visit some of the properties, and we have seen that some of the properties that we visited have now stopped purchasing after the 1st of July. So at least we will be able now to go and visit them. Then the last part will be those that we have not had a chance to go and visit as a result of either time or them not allowing us to go in. We will then have to go there on a different day, on a different manner, not necessarily to give out TIP, but to go and visit them, I mean, using the data that we have.
And I mean, how safe is it to do that?
Well, safety is relative. We do have certain areas where we cannot enter, firstly, and vending in those areas are at an all-time low. And we have classified our customer base of prepaid between affluent and non-affluent customers, just to try and give us a perspective. And it's not to say that we are beating the bull that is hauling, but we want to understand where are we purchasing so that we can retain those, and then those who are not purchasing, we are going to try and visit those. So the non-affluent are those areas, to your question, where we have been experiencing difficulties in getting them to buy, and we will utilize the same methodology. I mean, maybe I'm speaking too prematurely or taking the cat out of the bag, but in the same way that we do when we go out and do the disconnection drives, as we spoke about it last week on Thursday, we will do the same in this one, because we'd rather go into an area, a whole area, because there are certain areas where vending is as low as 5-10% for an entire suburb, you know, and yet they enjoy the benefits of others who pay. So that is how we are planning to do that, to counter the safety risk.
Is it obvious? So let's just say I'm an innocent customer, right? Is it obvious when and if I'm buying from a vendor that is unauthorized? Will I always know?
Oh, yes, definitely. They will know. This is criminal, as this spokesperson has said. I mean, for example, when you go to that vendor, the vendor will say, give me 500, I will give you tokens for 1,500.
I see what you mean.
That's on its own. That's
okay,
its
yeah.
Own
but I mean, does everybody operate like that? In other words, are there people who seem legit and I could just be an innocent buyer and they carry on with the same dubious kind of machine, that ghost machine?
I would like to believe that criminals will make them
they'll leave their footprint
known.
Okay.
Because they want to make it lucrative for you.
I understand. Yeah. So basically we would be able to know if I'm buying from a dodgy vendor. It would be obvious.
As a customer, you should know. The unfortunate part is we would not know, because those machines are there far and wide. We don't know how they got their hands on them, but with this change in November 24, it should like take them out of business now.
Sure. It's a difficult one. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you giving us your time today and just giving us a sense of how the situation looks like in the city of Johannesburg. City Power Senior Manager, Revenue Enhancement, Mubani Mzizi, just to give us a sense of what happens in Joburg. But yeah, I think, as he said, perhaps by 24th November, we'll have a different picture. Let's hope, but maybe we'll speak to him then as well again.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.